If he worked for you and he didn't do what you want him to do, you fire him. Have you ever wondered and never thought, my brethren, what a gracious God it was that didn't just simply say to Adam and Eve, all right, you disobeyed my command, I won't have any more to do with you. No, he didn't do that. But right there in the morning of time, right there in that very time, he told them, he showed them that the seed of the woman should bruise the head of the serpent that had betrayed them. But that also that the serpent should bruise the heel of the seed. Bruise thy heel. Don't you see what it is? What are you talking about, my brethren? The seed of the woman cannot refer to anything else except the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. And all of his lifetime, as I hinted a while ago, he was bruising the head of the serpent. And so we find what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, such characters, such ungodly men, hell-deserving sinners, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Yes, God loved us before the world began. All of these things, my brethren, if we can understand them, if God gives us light, all of these things are working together and accomplishing the eternal will and the purpose of God, and nothing has ever gone astray. Nothing has ever come up. Shall I use just a homely expression, one that we might use in our everyday being? Nothing has ever come up that has caused God to wish that he had done it some other way. No, all things are in his hand. And all things are working together for good to accomplish the eternal will and the purpose of our God. And the apostle, he said in the 8th of Romans, you know, he said, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know that all things work together for good, so that there's nothing in our God, you remember the scripture said, in him there's neither shadow of a turn. It goes straight forward. All of the eternal wills and the shadows and the purpose of our God, my brethren, have gone, shall I say, straight forward, accomplishing that eternal will and the purpose of God. From the time that he created the heavens and the earth and determined before the world began the things it should be. Men and devils have never done anything, my brethren, to offset or throw out of gear or to cause things to move or to change contrary to the eternal will of God, will of our God, because men and brethren, men and devils, my brethren, are in the hands of this eternal Father. Yes, they can't move, they can't do a thing in the world. They go no farther than God's eternal will and purpose has decreed for them to go. Well, I want to close through very soon now. Can you not understand why John said, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God? Every one of the children who have been brought to the knowledge of the truth thus far, they know that they've not deserved the love of God. They know that if they had received what they deserved, it would be condemnation. But the Father loved them, the manner of love. I've never been able to describe the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. As a usual thing, we love somebody because they seem to serve our purpose, maybe. We love our children, of course, for different reasons. But now here it was poor sinners, hell-deserving sinners, that God loved. Yes, the manner of love that God extended and had for those who transgressed his law. Surely, as I said, we are not God. We would, in our carnality, we would say, we're away with you, I won't have any more to do with you. But God loved his people with such a love that nothing turned him aside, because these things were all accomplishing the things that God determined before the world began. Therefore, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Have you had your friends, neighbors, sometimes when you're talking, and you're talking about the grace of God and what God does for his people? Have you had them to deny the truth, say, I can't believe that, that's not true? Well, if you have had the manner of love manifest in your heart, you will be blessed to live that life, my brethren, and show forth the praise of that God that loved you. But in doing so, you will be going contrary to the thoughts and the beliefs of men, the carnality of men. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They knew not Jesus. They did not believe that he was the Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to think about, my brethren, where it said, if they had known, these unbelievers, if they had known that Jesus was the Christ, they would not have crucified him. And so the eternal wisdom of God hid these things from those wise and prudent men. And it is, as Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, Lord, God of heaven and of earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. So, brethren, these men, they did not know. I don't have the slightest thought in the world that Judas knew that that the scriptures are talking about him when it said he should be betrayed. No, he wasn't said, I'm the man, therefore I'm going to do it. It wasn't anything like that. But he was a thief from the beginning, and he loved money more than he didn't love the Savior, apparently, and he didn't love the brethren, apparently. He loved carnality, he loved the things of the world, saying, should not this have been sold and given to the poor? And all he wanted was the money. Yes, but he went, therefore, enticed as he was, by the 30 pieces of silver. And he bargained with those who did not believe that Jesus was the Christ any more, perhaps, than Judas believed. He bargained with them. He went there, therefore, and bargained with them. He was the very one, unconsciously, he didn't know he was one. But it turned out to be the very one that the eternal will and the purpose of our God had determined before the world began. And so, my brethren, is everything else that we have to do with. Everything is working together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, I have remarked maybe today, I don't recall right now, I remarked that it is necessary that there should be a death before there can be a resurrection. It says, now, beloved, are we the sons of God, and yet doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The wonderful part of this is, as I think about it, God has predestinated his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's predestinated them. He determined that they should be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, while we received the new birth, the spiritual birth, being born of the Spirit of God in this life, and yet, my brethren, we have this treasure, as I said, in earthen vessels, there must of necessity be a death before there can be a resurrection. There must be a resurrection, because it is in the resurrection, not before it, or not afterward, but in the resurrection, are the people of God conformed to the image of Jesus. And therefore, it is said here, beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We have imaginations. We have imagined, we have wondered about what heaven shall be. I used to hear it described as being, literally, as it said in Revelation, the streets are paved with gold, and the gates of pearl, as if that was a wonderful and glorious appearance, a natural thing. But my brethren, we're told it does not yet appear what we shall be. But I have said to you that heaven begins below. It begins when God sends forth his Spirit into your heart. And after you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. but it does not yet appear. We don't know what Jesus looks like. He's been glorified. He's at the right hand of the Father now. He's glorified. But whatever he is and whatever appearance he has, so shall all of those for whom he suffered and bled and died. And the apostle said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, and it does not yet appear, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I wouldn't undertake to try to describe heaven or immortal glory, my brethren. I don't know. It's too deep, too wonderful, too glorious. Only, brethren, if we are the children of God, if we've been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, we've been born the Spirit of God, I believe that we've had a little foretaste of heaven. And that when we're brought into the fullness of it, it'll be just more of that little joy, that foretaste, that joy, and that peace and consolation that we receive in the hour, in that time, when Jesus revealed himself to us as our Savior. Do you need it? Do you want anything more than that? Do you need anything more than that? Just an abundance, a fullness of that which you tasted but a little, that you felt but a little. Yes, it shall be the abundance of it, and there shall be no more sorrows, no more tears, no those things. For all things natural shall be done away with, and we shall be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Be with him, see him as he is, and be like him. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's what God has done for us. May we give him all the praise and honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. Let's look to the Lord and meet us. Gracious Father, we trust that we're thankful that thou hast brought us together one more time. We give thee thanks that thou hast revealed unto us thy dear Son as our Savior. Oh, may we be blessed with thy Spirit to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Go with us, Father, where we go, be with us where we be. Enable us to walk circumspectly while we live in this world, that thy name may have all the praise, the honor, and the glory, now and evermore. Amen.